Hello, it's the Ghost. Welcome to They Call Me the Ghost. If you're a fan of the strange but true happening in our world and the dark and mysterious goings-on, then you are in the right place. Okay, today's story. Picture a young girl walking home as she gets approached by an older man. First thought, kidnapping, predator? Maybe. This young girl, who I will call Allison, is walking home. It's in the late 70s. She's bringing home some things for her mom for dinner. And this man walks up to her from behind saying hello and telling her that he's a pediatrician and things. But this little girl is thinking, this doesn't feel right. And I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. She tries to ignore him and just keeps walking toward home. He starts telling her about the fact that he's a pediatrician, that maybe her parents are looking for a new pediatrician. And then he starts asking all these other questions, like what her name is, how old she is, and he compliments her, like her hair and things like that. Well, by this point in her walk, when he's doing all of that, Allison can actually see her house. She doesn't know what to do, and she just takes off running for home. And when she gets to her front steps, she feels as though this guy was going to be right behind her, this stranger who introduced himself as Dr. Hadley. She doesn't see him anywhere, however, and even when she goes inside and peeks out again, out the window, the guy doesn't seem to be there. Well, she's happy and relieved. She's heard all the stories about the children, and she feels like she's done the right thing, and now she can just forget it. But forget it, she would not, because a few days later, she's at home doing her own thing, like kids do. She looks out her living room window, and there he is, this guy in the car. Looking closer to be sure, she knows. This is Mr. Hadley, and he's waving at the house. It's almost like her parents are outside, and he's waving to them. But they are not outside. They're inside. He waves the whole time he passes by. But then Dr. Hadley just drives off. Now she's starting to really think that something's up with this guy, because the first incident came and went as it did. She didn't even tell her parents. But this time, she goes right up to her mom and tells her what happened, even when she went to the store, that this Dr. Hadley came up to her and followed her the whole way back to her house, and then how he was just driving by and waving. At first, the mom is thinking, you know, this is terrible. Someone's trying to talk to my child, and her mama bear kicks in. But then that kind of goes away, because she's thinking, well, Dr. Hadley, a pediatrician? Maybe he's just used to talking to children. And again, like I always say, our minds are always looking for that excuse that the weird or strange is not actually happening to us. But him being a pediatrician, you know, we're going to give her this one. Okay. Well, her happy theory didn't last too long either, because soon enough, Dr. Hadley's calling the house, and he's asking for Allison. The reaction of both of Allison's parents are quite different this time. They no longer think that this is a safe pediatrician. He's acting inappropriately towards a child. The dad asks Allison to explain how it all started, exactly what has been happening. And reluctantly, Allison does. The father takes it all in, but he doesn't quite understand her story. If Allison never gave up her name, how did the doctor know who to ask for when he called? There had to be more to this. What he knows is that when he answered the phone, the guy asked for Allison by name, and the father explained, "Hey, that's my daughter. She's young. Why are you trying to find her?" But the guy just hangs up, only to call back a few seconds later and repeat the whole process as if he never talked to the dad at all. And remember, this is the late 70s. There's no internet and cell phones and access to stuff. I mean, what kind of research would this guy had to have done to know who his daughter is? There really should be no reason for a random doctor to know their daughter's name. And it's their daughter. She's only 9. I mean, they're iffy about whether they should call the police or not. They didn't really feel like they had any case for the police to follow at this point. And the parents just felt like if they called the police and said, "Hey, you know, this pediatrician was waving at my daughter and even talked to her," and even if they said he called, it would just sound too much like this doctor would be harmless. Since technically he really hadn't done anything, what could the police really do? So they waited. But Dr. Hadley would call again, and the dad would answer again. Dr. Hadley asks for Allison, and the father goes through his spiel about how he's the dad. Why does he keep calling? He doesn't get anything until he tells the guy never to call the house again, and then he just hangs up. The guy calls again, and this starts a process of the phone's ringing, the dad's yelling, and hanging up. The phone rings, the dad's yelling, etc. They don't know what to do. Back then, there weren't any stalking laws either, so they really felt stuck about the whole thing. They decide still not to call the police, but they do decide to keep an extra close eye on their daughter, Allison. They drive her to school. They don't let her walk to school. They don't let her walk anywhere. They don't let her see friends. She can't go anywhere for quite a while. I mean, they're protecting her, but now her world is very tiny, which isn't so great for her. Eventually, the parents do decide to tell the police about their situation, and they get a police escort for their daughter for the times when they can't walk for her. Remember, they're still working. The daughter wasn't allowed to do anything, not even answer the phone. And so what happens to Dr. Hadley then? I mean, he really didn't have access to Allison. Was she really his target? Well, one day, Allison and her sister and her brother and their mother were in the kitchen. The mom's cooking, typical family, everyone's chatting, when all of a sudden, her brother starts reacting to what he sees out the window. He runs over to the window and he's looking out. And of course, Allison and the rest of the family are, you know, what are you doing? What are you looking at? And he says he sees someone in their garage. So, of course, the entire family now is huddled around this window. There's a window on the side of the garage as well, so they're focused on it. And sure enough, they do see someone, but he appears to look back at them. He sees that they can see him, and then he ducks down. And it really freaks the whole family out, as it would anyone. I mean, what would you do if you looked out, and maybe in your backyard or in your garage, you see this stranger standing there, not to mention a stranger that's already been pressing things with you already? Well, for these guys, they didn't have long to think about it, because the next thing that happens is the garage door opens and out comes Mr. Hadley. He looks and then he takes off down the road. Well, Allison's brother runs after him, but the guy does get away. So now not only Allison, but the whole family is on extra high alert. It's on another level. They're all on the lookout around their property now, around their street. They basically want to keep their doors locked and stay inside. And really, they do that for about 2 weeks. One morning when the dad goes out to get the paper, he notices something, though. This time it's not Dr. Hadley, but instead it's their dog, Brewster. Brewster's laying out in front of him on their porch like he does on a lot of days. And at first the dad's not sure, but then he notices that, yes, their dog has died. He's sort of half on the porch and half not when the dad walks up to him, and he can see that the dog has also been roughed up a bit. So this takes everything yet again to another level. The father calls the police, telling him that they have a stalker. He's getting serious, and telling them that this Dr. Hadley even hurt their dog. There's really nothing, though, if you think about this, it's true, that the police could technically do. They do have the police escorts, but now they're getting this call. I mean, options are thrown out. Maybe this was an accident. And they have to point out that no one actually saw the doctor do any damage. So what can the police really do? Not much. The family's sad. Now they need to do something about their dog, and they just need to live with this mess, as frustrating and frightening as it is. One strange thing did come out of all that, though. The police, now involved with the escorting and things like this, they do try to find Dr. Hadley. They couldn't charge him with anything yet, or anything like that, but they do want to know who he is in case something happens and things escalate, but they can't even find him. So we have the police researching, the family's taking care of their dog, everyone's shut in. The phone rings again. We know who it is. It's Dr. Hadley. But this time, it's a little bit different. He does not ask for Allison. Instead, he tells the father that he knows there are 5 people in the house, and he knows that the wife's in the kitchen and the kids and father are in the den. Dr. Hadley knew what they were doing also. The father knows that without him in their house doing something to them, it's just another extremely frustrating phone call to the police, so he doesn't do that. He just tells him to leave his family alone and hangs up. He wants to be done with all of it, but it's just bothering him too much. How did this guy know where everyone was and what they were doing? Well, this prompts him to run around to every window, make sure they're closed, make sure they're covered. With everything shut in, he pulls the phone cord and calls it a day. When he reconnects that phone, though, the next morning, Dr. Hadley just starts calling again. And like the last call, his calls are now always about who's in the home and where they are in the house. And then he progresses to tell the father, who's the only one answering the phone at this point, that he can even get inside their home if he wants. Dr. Hadley knows, he says. He can get into the kitchen or where the French doors are off the living room. Now, the father knows that both the kitchen window and those doors are not working so great. So he goes to the kitchen with twine, he ties the window down. Then he goes into the living room and starts nailing the French doors into place. The locks were weak. Really, they were broken, and he knew someone could just bust through them if they really wanted to. So now we have the family pretty much cut off from the whole outside world. They can't even open a window or go outside to their yard. They're keeping an eye on specific places inside their house. They are fully on guard. This is scary and stressful. The father knows more than the rest of the family, and he's just sitting there thinking about how interesting it is that this doctor pointed out the two areas of his house that were most vulnerable. Was he stalking the place? Was he checking it out in the middle of the night? How did he know what to find? And let's not forget, the parents actually have lives, right? Remember, they do have jobs. The kids have to go to school. The parents have a company party that's coming up, and they're pretty much required to go. But they're uncomfortable leaving their kids alone. On the other side of it, they're frustrated. They've been shut in for weeks. Getting to a company party sounds kind of good. And they have their kids who are telling them, it's fine, we'll be great, everything will be fine. So after they all talk it out, everyone gets what they wanted. The parents get to go out for a bit, and the kids get to have some time without mom and dad. The parents are continuously talking themselves into the fact that this is still a great idea as they get ready. They haven't heard from Dr. Hadley really in a few, and they're thinking maybe the guys moved on. Maybe the kids will just be better off if we're not here for a few. They will only be gone a couple of hours. What really could happen? This guy would have to know exactly when they're leaving and when they're coming back. So all in all, they talk themselves into the fact that it's fine that they're leaving. After the parents do take off, Allison gets cozy on the couch and starts watching TV. Her brother joins her on the floor. She's trying to relax and just enjoy herself, but her mind and eyes keep wandering over to the French doors, which are in her view. She did happen to know that there was no lock on those doors, not one that worked. She also knew her father did order another one, but it wasn't here yet. So she was concentrating on all the nails he put in to keep those doors secure. And we know how all that goes, right, guys? You start thinking about something like that, and it really can just take you over and make you only more fearful. And as she sits there staring at the French doors, she starts to think she's seeing Dr. Hadley. Then she sees the doors sort of bend in as if someone's leaning on them. The doors look almost as if they're swelling, like some kind of evil monster is just going to bust through them at any moment. Her imagination is on fire at the moment. For just a quick second, she does see the outline of who she thinks is Dr. Hadley. She's sure of it, and she jumps up and she's screaming. That jolts her brother off the floor, and Allison is just standing there staring and pointing at the double doors. They start to swell again, and then even the brother, he sees the silhouette of the doctor through the door. Kids being kids, they go straight upstairs where they think the invader will never find them. They're running and screaming and off they go. They all shut themselves into Allison's room and then they start to look out the window to see if they can see this doctor at all. They don't see him. But of course, if he's hanging close to the house, they're not going to be able to see him. But they were sort of hoping, you know, seeing him would make them feel better because at least they would know where he was. But they don't find him, so now they're wondering if he's gotten inside the house. So they decide to move to other rooms, move around, see if they can find Dr. Hadley outside anywhere. Now, one of those rooms has a view to those French doors downstairs, and they actually find Dr. Hadley there, and he has his hands on the knobs, and he's calling things out. He's saying he's the pizza guy and that he has a pizza, and they should come and get it. But they know they didn't order any pizza, and they're not supposed to open the door for anyone. So they start to realize it's time to call the police. They yell out to the doctor that that's what they're going to do, and he better get out of there. So he hesitates for a minute, but he does consider it, and then he runs off. Just after all that happens, there's a knock at their front door, which startles everybody. But it's just Allison's sister's friends. And Allison's sister's older, and they haven't been able to see the sister in a while, so they're just stopping by to see if she'll come out and do stuff with them, what's going on. And these kids are pretty shooken up, and these are familiar people, and they want the company, so they let them in. They bring them up to speed on everything that's going on, and now everybody's freaked out. So the older kids decide, all right, we're going to wait for this predator and we're going to be ready if he comes back. They're going to take him down. They all get knives and they spread out to some of the different rooms. They're ready for him. They know their parents will be home soon also, so they're going to be ready for a fight if they need to be. Otherwise, they know their parents will be home and can take care of everything then. But an hour goes by and the parents are still gone. Allison's brother's getting hungry, and so he decides he's got to go downstairs and get a snack. So he does. There he is in the kitchen, getting himself a bowl of cereal. After he pours his milk, he starts to get that creepy feeling that someone is behind him. He tries to shrug it off, but he can't. So he turns around, but there's nothing there. Everything's locked as it was before, so he just chalks it up to the fact that he's completely wigged and it's just getting to him. He gets back to his cereal. He does take his bowl and start to walk around. He looks a little closer at the French doors, tries to look out the glass, but the lights inside, you know, you don't really have a view to the outside. So he sets down his bowl, puts his hands to the glass, and sort of squints to see what's going on in the dark. He's certain at that time that he does see the doctor. He backs up from the glass and lets out a scream, which basically is a call for all his siblings and the friends to come down. Sure enough, they do, and they all have their knives in hand. They want to know what's up and if there's anything they need to do. The brother looks back out the window, but this time he doesn't see anything, and he's trying to tell them what he saw, that he was right there on the other side of the glass. Well, the older sister and the friends, they decide that's it. They're going to go outside and find this guy and take care of business. So they do go out there. They run around the yard, they look everywhere, but they find nothing. So soon enough, they're all back in the house, in the kitchen, on the floor, with their knives. These kids don't move an inch until the parents come home. And they know it's the parents because they hear the keys in the door. The parents are outraged, completely flipped out that something happened while they were away with their kids at home. They shouldn't have left. All this is going on, and they call the police again. They take the friends home, the police do, and they sit with the family. But because it was only the kids that saw this person, and because they've searched the property and can't find anything, there's no way to prove anything even happened. The police tried to find this guy, but could not find anything. So again, their hands are tied. There's nothing they can do. And this is how now the family just has to be. They have to live with this. And a couple of weeks go by where they're doing just that. But they're all pretty much at their wit's end. I mean, they never separate from each other. The parents don't separate from the kids. The kids are in school, of course, but the parents even took time off to be at home during this whole time. They're thinking, well, we can interrupt our jobs, but let's not interrupt the kids at school because they're in school. It's safe. Good thought, but one day out on recess, Allison turns, she's looking at the road, and she sees Dr. Hadley. She goes right up to a teacher and points him out and says, that man shouldn't be there, and he's stalking my family, so we need to go inside, we need to call my parents right now. The school sees how serious and scared she is, and they take her seriously. They go straight to the principal's office, and they call home to Allison's mom. They get a hold of her, but she's confused. The mom is saying, hey, I just got a call from the school, and they were trying to check and make sure that Allison was leaving early that day with her father. And she says, well, I told them no, she's not leaving early that day, and she'll be in school the whole day and be picked up by her father then. So now everyone's aware and believes that there was someone there at the school, that Allison did see this man, and possibly he was trying to get on school grounds and actually take her. But it was caught in time, and the parents are relieved. They're thinking, okay, we sent our kids to school hoping it was safe, and it turns out it was. But this puts the parents and the kids on edge again, particularly the father. This was kind of the last straw in this whole ordeal. He definitely had had enough. Allison woke up that night in the middle of the night. She just is so thirsty. She goes downstairs to get some water. Surprisingly, she finds her dad sitting at the kitchen table. He's just there. It's pretty dark. He's awake, but he's very disheveled, and he's holding a gun. He looks upset. Allison knew exactly why, but she doesn't say anything. She doesn't really want to disturb him, so she quietly goes around him to get her glass of water. And while she's doing that, he's mumbling a few things. That he wants to protect his children, that he's there to protect his family. He just doesn't know how anymore. And that he's very tired of all of this and how much he wanted it to end. Allison had gotten her water by this time, and she's just standing there looking at her dad. She wanted to help him or say something, but she didn't know what to do or what to say. He finally sets his gun down on the table and looks directly at her and tells her she should just go back to bed. Now, what's strange here is that this whole situation is peaking at this time, right? It's either going to go very good or very bad. Can we catch this guy, or is he going to hurt us? That's what the dad's thinking, right? But after that night, everything stopped. Right when it should have exploded, everything stopped. No one ever saw Dr. Hadley again. He never called. No one heard from him. It was as if he just disappeared into thin air. The guy was there, then he was gone. Of course, No one can know exactly what happened here. Our imaginations, too, can wander. Did Dr. Hadley have something for Allison? Was he obsessed with her in some way? The guy wouldn't stop. But had he had enough? Maybe he did, and maybe he just moved on. Other than that, one can only wonder if Allison's father was the one to end this nightmare. Had he had something to do with Dr. Hadley's disappearance? It's definitely something to think about. That's all for now, guys. Thank you for listening, and until next time, I will talk to you all soon.